Hello.
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 Hi.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Well, in the week where a former Soviet agent said he's found evidence that Joseph Stalin spied on people by analysing their poo to construct psychological portraits.
Wow. In the week that, while Sarah Palin was busy endorsing Donald Trump for the US presidency, her son Track Palin, real name, was arrested on domestic violence and weapons charges, for which she blames Obama.
Clearly.
Wow. Uh-huh. And in the week when a very large snow phallus was drawn on Frozen Lake in Sweden.
Because of course it was.
That's such a you story.
It is an incredibly you story.
Yeah.
In all of those weeks, it's the Geekly Chronicles.
Hello, welcome.
Episode 8.
Yeah, we're on the 8th episode of Series 3 of the Geekly Chronicles.
I can hardly believe it,
indeed. And we have a fantastic show lined up tonight. Back in the country.
I think at the end of the show, there's one particular word that will lose all meaning for you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Cheese. No,
that's every show.
That's already lost all meaning to me.
We've got some cool stuff to talk about. We're going to talk a little bit about various things that are going on at the moment, news-wise. There's lots of cool stuff happening in the world.
How very generic an intro of
you. Some not cool stuff happening in the world as well.
That's also very true.
Yep. But the theme of our show this evening, and something that I'm very excited about, what is coming up on a Tuesday near you soon?
Well, not quite the nearest Tuesday, but the Tuesday after the nearest Tuesday. the Tuesday before our next show.
Yeah.
is Shrove Tuesday.
Indeed it is.
But not every country celebrates that. So what is Shrove Tuesday and what do we call it?
So Shrove Tuesday is something to do with the Christian calendar. So it's the day before Ash Wednesday when Lent starts.
I was thinking more about the important meaning of the day.
Yeah, so, well, that's where it originally came from. But now, obviously, we know it better as Pancake Day.
It's Pancake Day.
Hey.
Hey. So tonight on the show... tonight on the show, we'll be laughing like that, of course.
Tonight on the show, we'll be trying to press the buttons that don't work.
Yeah, tonight on the show, we're also going to have...
Pancakes!
Yeah, there we go. Pancakes, pancakes.
Fantastic.
Pancakes, pancakes.
Pancakes, pancakes.
Thanks, Hattie.
Great.
Sounds like quite panicky pancakes.
It sort of does.
Pancakes!
Yes.
We are going to have pancakes on the show.
Excellent.
Yes, plus all of the usual features. We will have Game of Geeks. Catherine, who do you think is going to win tonight?
Oh, it's too close to call. I mean, we're currently at, if I can actually find the information, I will tell you. Kez has won 4 shows and Chris has won 2.
We're currently on frankly embarrassing scores.
So it's all to play for.
It is all to play for.
Indeed.
We'll have the Tumble Fumble. We will have lots of other things as we go throughout the show, because, of course, that is what we do here. But coming up first...
A show.
Oh, well, of course. People should request and stuff. Chris, why don't you talk
people
about that?
Should request and stuff. That would be excellent. We would love to hear the music you want to put in our ear holes. If you want to send us a request, you need to be in the chat room or on Twitter. In the chat room, type !! request, then a space, and then the name of the song and the artist, basically anything you'd Google to find it. And GeeklyBot will attempt to comply. Or if you're on Twitter, just send us a message at GKLYCO with the hashtag request, and GeeklyBot will figure out what you mean.
Indeed. But
we have a pancakey themed Would You Rather as well, don't we?
That's true.
We'll get into that just after the first song. But first up.
I'm excited about it.
I know.
Let's
save the listeners some excitement. Please get your requests coming in. We've got a great show tonight. We're going to be eating pancakes. We'll be trying out new pancake recipes. We tweeted you earlier in the week and asked you what your favorite pancake combinations were. We're going to try some of the weirder and wackier ones out on the show tonight as well. Mm. You know, it's interesting, Chris. You were talking a bit about Sarah Palin before... before.
Where is this going?
I know I said interesting. That may have been a misnomer. I apologise. but we were talking a bit about Sarah Palin. And, of course, in 4 days...
4 whole days.
Well, maybe it's 3 days now. I'm not entirely sure. But it was 4 days the last time I looked.
Either way, I'll be able to drink tea then. So
yes, you'll be able to drink tea by
so
then.
So that's the only thing that really matters.
But they start voting in the... In the primaries, in the whatever they're called, the bits where they...
Preliminaries.
Preliminaries.
I love it because the show, I was trying to remember what that word was. Yeah.
But people in the US will be able to start voting for who they want to be their Republican and their Democratic candidate.
Indeed, they will.
For the presidential elections, which take place much later this year. But it's an exciting time / scary time / time. It's a time.
It is definitely a time.
It is a time.
I would have to confirm that.
Yeah, so we're at this kind of point now where the votes are starting to happen. So right now we've been seeing all these debates between different people in the different parties. Whereas, like, in the UK, we would see lots of different people debate and then we could vote for all of them when it got to election time. There's this kind of narrow it down to just two choices and then vote for those when it comes to actual election time. Mm. And of course, we know who the front runner is in the Republican nomination, as we have sung many a song about that.
Many a song. None of them broadcastable. Well, one of them broadcastable. But
yes. Please do remember to check out the Trump song on our SoundCloud that was so...
That was fun.
We played just 4 weeks ago, two shows. And there are, you know, it's much more closely contested in a Democratic camp. But it's interesting. I think, you know, it's a time where the whole world looks at what is a very influential country and thinks about, you know, what their future is going to be. What are they going to be up to politically in the next year? If you, Catherine, I'm looking at you now. If you were president.
Oh, blimey.
First law. What would it be?
Oh, the first things I thought of was something to do with cheese or something to do with tea.
That's exactly where my mind went.
Get kettles into American homes.
Yes, yes, because they're so lacking. I mean, here, every single home in Britain has a kettle. Every single
Many homes have more than one kettle.
I don't understand how we've got kettles coming out of our ears. In a microwave.
No,
it's really confusing, isn't it?
It's terrible. Absolutely terrible. And I think that it would actually help America be great again. Make America great again. Every single home has a kettle. A kettle on every desk in every home. Mm-hmm. I like that policy. So what would your cheese-related policy be?
Oh, I don't know.
Cheese after
every
meal?
That's too difficult.
Or maybe it has to be something like American supermarkets must stock real cheese rather than American hard cheese.
Oh,
I was doing air quotes there.
Yeah.
But so I was in the US for the last show, as listeners, you may remember. Pleased to be back here in the studio face to face with our lovely team here. But while I was out there, I had the joy of going to the supermarket, the grocery store.
I love the way you used the word joy in a what I'm sure will be a very joyless sentence as you describe to us how American hard cheese works.
Well, it was depressing, the choice of cheese. I mean, you know, we live next to France here, so it's nice. You can go
we have,
get nice
we can
cheese.
Just pop over.
Pop over.
Get some cheese.
And the cheese in the US was... well, it was more like a doorstop than cheese. Mm-hmm. It was like, you know, you can buy a wooden block that you can then just chisel into any shape. It was basically like that.
Okay.
So I could have made a cheese sculpture.
Mm, that would have been interesting.
But I didn't want to eat it.
No.
I tried grating some and it broke a cheese grater.
Although I might have to find some cheese sculpture stuff for the Tumblr Fumble next week.
Ah, yes.
That sounds cheese fantastic.
Sculptures. I might have to make some cheese sculptures and put them on Tumblr so that you can talk about them. But yes, so I definitely agree that a kettle in every home and more European cheese needs to be on the agenda of whoever gets elected
absolutely
in the coming days and weeks. Mr. Trump, if you're listening, and indeed any of the other Republican candidates that may or may not get elected, other candidates do exist, please, your European friends have a desire for cheese and tea. And and Democrats, hey, we know you already like to party like it's Europe, so hey, come on, let's get those kettles in those houses. Let's do this for America. Let's make America great again, British style.
I see. Speaking of voting, in fact.
Yes. now that I've basically laid out my presidential candidacy policies.
Just to get you to stop talking about cheese.
You can never stop the cheese.
That is a very, very true fact. But we do this other votey thing. on this show.
Oh yes, that that would you?
The reason I'm kind
thing.
Of not mentioning it by name is because I don't have the buttons, and you have the buttons for this game.
I'd forgotten about that.
So do you want to hit the button?
You know those party games that everyone thinks are still fun when you're sober, but really aren't? It's time for Would You Rather.
Yep.
Would You Rather.
Uh-huh.
It's Would You Rather.
Press all of the buttons.
Is that enough buttons, Chris?
That will probably do for now.
Okay. We are thoroughly buttoned.
Okay. So what is it this week then, Catherine? What is our Would You Rather?
Okay, so sticking with
would
our...
Would You Rather.
Thanks. Sticking with our exciting pancake theme.
You're welcome.
Would you rather?
Would you rather
find a hair in your pancake?
Ew.
Or go out with a pancake in your hair?
Ew.
No, actually, not you. I. So how? So, would you rather have a hair in your pancake?
Yeah.
So just one hair, one pancake.
Yeah.
pretty simple out. Mathematically.
It could be quite a long hair though.
Go out one day, one time.
Yeah.
With a pancake in your hair.
Yeah.
They are both one-off situations.
If you had quite a big bouffanty hairdo, you could hide the pancake.
But also, like, you know, fashionistas are coming out with weird fashion statements all the time, right?
I suppose if it was a really crispy pancake, you could just wear it like a hat.
God. How long is it going to be before, like, you know, Jean-Paul Gaultier has someone walking down the catwalk with a pancake on their head? I mean, Lady Gaga's worn a meat dress before now.
So this is clearly the next logical step.
And how much do people love that picture of the bunny with the pancake on its head on the internet that's, like, been around since the birth of the internet?
I'm not sure
you
if
make
I've seen
a fair point.
Oh, it's adorable. We have to find it. There's a picture of a bunny with a pancake on its head somewhere. So I think I'm probably going for pancake on the head because I think I could make it work. Mm. I think I could make it work.
That's a guinea pig with a waffle on its head.
That's not the same thing.
There's worlds of difference.
There's like all kinds. There's an album of various breakfast foods.
But there's a definite bunny with a pancake on its head.
As
somewhere.
Opposed to an indefinite bunny.
Yes,
the bunny that
Schrodinger's
just goes
bunny.
On forever.
Schrodinger's bunny. I've lost words.
Nice. Great. We are 17 minutes in and you've already forgotten how to speak.
Totally.
Which is a fantastic start to the show.
Yeah, but it's not really about what we think. It's about what the listeners think because we don't get a vote. You do. So listeners, everyone in the chat room there, everyone out there on the internet, in the world who is listening, if you're not on the world and you're listening, great, fantastic. Why haven't you called? Please vote.
Go to gkly.co/WYR for Would You Rather.
I believe
nailed
that's
it.
Correct. Yes, there we go.
I got my letters right.
Excellent. So yeah, links in the chat room, links up on Twitter. Please vote and let us know whether you would like to be the bunny with the pancake on its head. No, whether you would like to be a person with a pancake on your head or a person with a hair on your pancake.
Yep. You do have to go out with the pancake on your head.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's not just like a personal use thing.
Oh, hang on. something else that might... Is it a head hair in the pancake?
Yeah, I was thinking so, yeah.
Oh, okay. Because that could be
that
like...
That could have changed things.
That
but
could
it's
have
quite
changed
like long
things.
And dark, though.
Yes.
And quite clearly not yours.
Well, that's true. But, you know, it's the difference between a dandruff pancake and a crab pancake.
Great. And with that wonderful mental image that you have just given all of our listeners.
Well, let's just remind everyone to get those requests coming in.
Yes.
So please do request songs. You can request them in the chat room by typing !request. You can request them on Twitter. You can just send us song requests. It's fine. Email them to us.
You can fax us sheet music. It will work.
You can. That's fine. Do that. Now, though, I've got a song that I've wanted to play for a little while, actually. There was this song that I loved back in a long time ago. Uh-huh. And they stopped making it. The band split up. The record company dropped them. Their back catalogue got sold off to someone that's not put it on Spotify.
Rude.
And there were like 150 copies of this CD. And I had one and I lost it. And I finally, after searching eBay for years, found one. And I would now like to play for you a song by a band called The Warm Jets. This is Hurricane.
You are listening to the Geekly Chronicles.
It is.
I like that song.
That's a good song.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So little known song from the 90s, but fantastic. And I have a copy of that CD now, so that's awesome.
Fantastic.
Just need to try and get it on Spotify somehow, and then everyone can enjoy it. So one of our regular listeners, Amy, who's kind of phoned into the show before, has been a listener for a long time, has sent us a message saying that she can't listen tonight.
Oh.
But it's because she's running an awesome event in Coventry.
Yeah.
And this is not like sent to Coventry in like television character terms. This is an actual event.
An actual thing that's happening in real Coventry.
So huge good luck and thanks for being listeners to a bunch of people over at the Coventry Pride Love Music Hate Homophobia, Biphobia and Transphobia gig tonight that is happening. We appreciate that you can't listen live. I hope if you're listening back that it all went well. But yeah, that sounds like an awesome event. So if you're in Coventry, go to that event and listen back to the show later, because that sounds like a really great event to be a part of.
It does.
But it's that time of week again.
More random happenings from across the internet. It's the Tumble Fumble.
Catherine.
Ooh, yeah. Okay, so I've got more cats for you.
That is always great.
Yep. So this is Bum the Kitten. And he looks...
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, I know. he looks permanently worried or terrified, but is very adorable. And you can find him on Instagram, worried_cat_aka_bum. Worried cat, aka bum. And yeah, just... very, very adorable.
Bum
and
the cat.
Very worried looking.
There's a worried looking cat. Aww.
But you can see him go from obviously kitten to cat, still looking concerned.
Aww. That's adorable.
But always adorable.
That is very sweet.
And so he was a little rescue cat who has now found a new home. So that's a lovely little story as well. So yeah. Yeah, cute pictures for your Instagram.
Fantastic.
What else have I got? So we stumbled across this tweet that we all rather sort of fell in love with this week. Technically Ron, a Twitter account that's definitely worth following. Lots of funny
Ron.
Stuff. This one particular tweet. I used Google Autocomplete to write a dating profile, and it may be the best dating profile ever.
Brilliant.
I'll just retweet it so that Chris can see that and share it with you guys on the Geekly account. It's just classic. Nationality, I was born in the dark.
Excellent.
Wow.
Location, I live in a shed.
Amazing.
Body type, my body is
ready.
I am looking for
someone to share in an adventure.
Who enjoys
listening to sad music
and has
two thumbs.
Wow.
Oh, brilliant.
So this is someone's actual dating profile now, is it?
Well, I don't know if anybody's actually using it, but if you type in things like
it's great.
I enjoy
long walks on the beach.
I like
turtles.
I like
dogs.
And I like to
party. My ideal partner would be a person who
is addicted to alcohol,
who can
fix my car,
and who thinks
the earth is flat.
Wow. Well, there's at least one of those on Twitter, right?
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Yeah. Google autocomplete is one of... yeah, I love that anyway.
Yeah, so
that
I just want to read the bit right at the end. My turnoffs are being...
Oh, you don't have it on your screen. No, it's been cut off.
Oh, no.
Okay, let's try again.
My turnoffs are being...
blocked on WhatsApp.
And being...
found in human form.
Which I think is true of us all.
I always feel more attractive when I'm non-corporeal. You know, hence the radio.
Yes. Yes, very much.
We all have non-corporeal forms for radio.
Indeed we do. So that's fantastic, and we've just retweeted that saying we're...
Brilliant.
Yeah, we recommend it if you're thinking of giving online dating a try and you don't quite know how to fill in the boxes. Maybe get Google to help.
Yes. Well, I mean, Google does so much else for us these days, right?
Indeed.
it does all of our research for us. It manages our lives and our mobile lives. And
yes, Google is magic.
Occasionally pays tax.
Once or twice.
Yeah.
A year.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. Another little tidbit, if anyone loves the 90s as much as Kez.
I love the 90s.
I don't think anyone loves the 90s as much as Kez.
Oh, no. I think Kez in the 90s loved the 90s more than Kez now. Actually, Kez now loves the 90s more than 90s. Kez loved the 90s. Well, during the 90s,
well, if you
for
love
Kez,
the 90s,
I was just... It was just what life was. Now I look back at it and I think, oh, it's the 90s. That's amazing.
Okay, well, if you like the 90s even a quarter as much as that.
even an eighth,
maybe,
I would say.
Maybe take a look at the 90s life on Twitter. That's the 90s life on Twitter.
90s life.
Yeah, lots of memory lane stuff, if you're as old as us.
Such as?
Oh, no, that means I'd actually have to have this ready on my screen.
It's okay.
You know, it is that time of week again.
It's the Tumble Fumble.
We also said it was...
It's time for this week's Tumble Fumble.
So were you listening?
Not
I've
really
got it up on my screen.
I mean, you know, it's toys and
Kids,
TV shows.
I remember when multiplayer meant in the same room.
That is true. Does anyone else remember, like the VHS players? Does anyone else remember, like, there was Video Plus?
Oh, yeah.
And so you'd look in the Radio Times or the TV guide or something.
Code.
This little
code. You type in the numbers.
And you type it in and it would auto-set the video, the VCR for you. That was so cool.
That was
cool. Oh, there's one of the things here. We got, remember, Magic Eye Pictures.
Yeah, but those are still around.
Yes.
Yeah, but they're not everywhere.
No,
you know, you don't actually while away an evening going
sitting with a book of Magic
cross-eyed.
Eye Pictures.
Yeah.
Well, I still while away evenings going cross-eyed, but...
Yeah, but not looking at Magic Eye Pictures.
Now with just, much less purpose.
Yeah, it's just after I've written my campaign manifesto for everyone needs a kettle and why isn't there much cheese here?
Wrigley's Juicy Fruit Chewing Gum.
Oh,
a million pictures of Hey Arnold.
Oh, well, Hey Arnold was amazing. It was
the first
real American export to the UK, Hey Arnold. That's what I remember from my childhood is watching Hey Arnold and thinking... I'm okay with not living in New York.
Okay.
Okay.
So we have. So is that? Is are we? Are we?
I think we fumbled.
We have fumbled.
We have fumbled.
Thank you, Catherine,
fumbled.
For the Tumble Fumble this week. Woo!
Okay.
That is much more excited than
me
you
trying
usually
to
get about the Tumble Fumble.
Some energy into the evening, and I've just got like you know. Tweedledum and Tweedledum Tumble over here. Yeah, it's wow. Okay, well, we gave it our best shot. So
someone got a bit too excited
We have got pancakes coming up after the break.
Indeed, we do.
But not just any pancakes. It's
they're live.
Live pancakes.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So pancakes that are actually live, not alive, not living and breathing. But Catherine here.
Me.
You. We're going to throw you into the kitchen.
Literally.
And you're going to make pancakes live on air.
Oh, my God.
I know. I know. It's going to be amazing.
Crazy.
This was actually my idea.
Yeah. So
it was. I don't know why you did this.
So we tweeted out earlier in the week and asked you for your pancake suggestions. It may have been last weekend now. I can't remember. And we asked you for what your favorite pancake toppings were, what your weirdest and wildest combinations are. We're going to try some of them out tonight. We're going to see what they taste like. We're going to do this live on air. And after that, we have an awesome guest on the show who is also...
It's where all the cool kids are.
So live pancakes then.
Yes, that's the thing that's happening.
So we need to explain that we've now... By the magic of technology, we've given Catherine a microphone and a pair of headphones, and she is in an entirely different place now. She is in
Indeed.
The Geekly Kitchen. We have a kitchen attached to the studio, and I should be able to bring up this fader and have Catherine in the kitchen. Catherine, are you there?
I am here.
Fantastic.
Oh my goodness. Is that, what can we hear in the background there? Is that the hob on?
Yep, the hob is on.
Oh, wow.
That's me rattling the frying pan on it. I'm just waiting for it to get really nice and toasty
hot. To prove that it exists.
Yep.
Yep. Oh, we can hear that there. So, describe your surroundings to us.
Well, it's a kitchen, obviously. Uh-huh. I've got a massive jug of pre-made batter that I made before the show. We've got all sorts of things that we're going to put on top of the pancakes. I think the first ones I'm going to make... I'm going to top with some Nutella and some banana.
Ooh.
I think that was Chris. You said that was your favourite.
My personal favourite.
That does sound good.
So the rest of us can give that a try and see what we think. So I think the pan might be just about warm enough. Try an initial pancake.
So listeners, please do feel free to tweet in and kind of in the chat room suggest stuff for us to try topping on these pancakes live as well.
Yes, that will be fun.
Well, obviously, we'll have to, have it.
Yes.
Yeah, we'll have to have it, so please don't be too
mean. We'll send a runner out to the corner shop.
We've got this rhyme, Catherine, this poem. Where did that come from?
Well, it's just something that we said in my family. Every pancake day, or whenever we made pancakes, somebody would say this rhyme, and I didn't really know where it came from. But when we were getting Hattie to make our jingles... I remembered that this might be something we could use come Shrove Tuesday.
Indeed.
Shrove Tuesday, Shrove Tuesday, when Jack went to plough. His mother made pancakes, but she didn't know how. She tossed them and turned them. She burned them all black. She used so much pepper, she poisoned poor Jack. Bloody hell.
Wow, so pepper on a pancake then. Let's say let's not do that, listeners. Please don't give us peppery pancakes.
Yeah, I will try not to poison you as well.
Please.
That would be ideal.
I'd like to not be poisoned tonight.
Oh, this pancake seems very fragile.
So is there a pancake in the pan?
Yeah, there's a pancake in the pan, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Fantastic. So for those unaware of the whole pancake making process, I believe it's true in pretty much every situation that the first one is always the throwaway.
Well, yes, but I'll eat it.
You don't throw away food.
It's
the least successful of the pancakes, but...
Because you never quite know how hot your pan is how good your batter is, and it's a bit like...
Also the most exciting of the pancakes.
So. Talk us through what you're doing then.
So I've just flipped the pancake over. Perhaps I was a little ahead of myself because it's not particularly brown on the other side.
Did you flip using a flipping device or did you flip using skill alone?
I flipped using my flipping device, commonly known, I think, as a fish slice.
For the fish pancakes.
Yeah.
Indeed.
but I'm sure later, once we get into the pancake making process, we can flip without a flipping device. Oh, I've flipped again, and it's starting to look a nice colour.
Ooh. I have to say, this is making great radio.
Well, I can hear it happening, but I'm salivating now at the thought of getting pancakes. And we had some really excellent suggestions coming on Twitter. There was one that the one that Tom tweeted in that was a Polish recipe that had curd cheese in with it as well.
Mm.
I did have a look for curd cheese in the supermarket earlier, but then didn't buy any. Misty also suggested red bean paste, but unfortunately... Mm. It wasn't like an off-the-shelf item in the supermarket. I would have had to have gone to a more specialist place, and we didn't quite have time this morning.
Although it does sound interesting.
It does sound good. I just wonder what the weirdest thing anyone's ever had on a pancake is. What's your personal weirdest? I mean, you've had Nutella and banana, obviously, so that's nice. Have you ever had anything odd?
To be honest, I don't think I've ever had not even odd, just anything remotely unconventional in a pancake. I'm a very... Nutella and banana, lemon and sugar, a bit of jam occasionally kind of person.
Do you see, I've never had jam in a pancake. To me, that's weird.
Ah.
Oh, I can hear movement. What's going on in the kitchen there?
Yeah, really. I mean, anything other than a bit of lemon and sugar seems a little bit weird to me.
Are you a diehard lemon and sugar
fan?
I am,
yeah.
Because that's pretty much what we had. I mean, the idea of chocolate at all on a pancake was poo-poo when I was younger.
Ooh.
So never allowed chocolate. Put the pancake on the plate. Do Nutella first, banana.
We have a runner here in the studio who actually sits here for every show and does the running, like gets us the drinks and stuff. We have a whole production team here, and so we've got our runner is going to be running pancakes between the kitchen and the
now
studio.
This runner has a semi-worthwhile job to do instead of fetching us teas.
Yes, fetching us pancakes instead.
Well, fetching some of us tea.
Yes, well, of course. So
very
you've been
true.
doing you've been doing the WaterAid challenge as well, haven't you? So not only are you being challenged by pancakes on the radio today.
Do you kind of spread the Nutella all over the pancake?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, okay, yeah. I didn't want to skimp, if that was
I didn't want to skimp.
Definitely
nobody
not.
Forecast that. But, yeah.
You'll get that later, listeners.
So Nutella and banana. So I don't think I've had Nutella and banana on a pancake before. But remember that I love bacon and banana as a combination because we did that with the sandwiches.
Our sandwich combination.
I'm excited to try a Nutella and banana pancake when it arrives. But our runner is hopefully on his way in shortly with our pancakes.
Yep. Yeah, so if you're going to roll this up and cut it.
Now,
bits
I suppose there's
so that you can have a bit of pancake each.
There's an important distinction to be made in the world of pancakes, because if you live
pancake on its way
here in the UK or somewhere in a similar pancakey
region,
then pancakes tend to be more like what are sometimes called crepes, kind of a thinner sort of batter, and you roll them up. But in America and Canada and countries like that, pancakes tend to be more thick, kind of thicker, and a lot of people here call them drop scones.
Drop scones? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, or just American pancakes.
Or American pancakes. Yes.
Right, well, we've got our first pancake has arrived here in the studio.
Here it is.
So I have no idea what this is going to be like. It might be rubbery as...
Do you want to grab a bit of that pancake there, Chris?
I'm grabbing
a little bit of this one here.
Banana is...
We've got some banana
going
here.
Going everywhere, right?
Let's take a look at this then. Is it any good?
Oh yeah.
Well, this is interesting, Catherine.
Interesting meaning kind of pants.
It doesn't taste like pants. This tastes like
we had pants for lunch.
Banana
in case anyone was wondering.
This is really good.
Oh yeah.
Wow.
This is the future of pancakes, everyone.
Yeah, let's just radio silence for a little while we eat these pancakes.
I've got the second pancake in the pan.
Ooh.
Oh, and it's already going better than the first one. I think that the pan is on form.
Lucas in the chat room says, pancakes made with yeast. Do you make pancakes with yeast?
I think some of those American pancakes
like
might
the American
be.
Pancakes. Mm. So no, Lucas, as we were just saying, important distinction. These are not American pancakes. These are European style pancakes, more like crepes, but we call them pancakes here. This is traditionally what you would eat in England, or I suppose any British colony.
I don't know, did we export pancakes?
I think so, because the pancake day is a thing in Australia.
I associate crepes with being quite sort of French.
That is true.
So I think it's one of those things that we appropriated from French culture.
Quite possibly.
So there's a nice big chunk of this banana and Nutella pancake here for you, Catherine, when you get back through.
All right, I thought the runner might want some.
The runner could probably have some as well. That's fine. You can fight it out.
Okay. Right, so the next one, I am going to put some lemon curd on. I can't remember who suggested the lemon curd. Can you?
I'm currently going back through our Twitter mentions to see. Lemon curd was suggested by Samothy.
Samothy_Barrett. So thank you, Samothy. Misty wants us to text them a pancake. Text Misty a pancake. Can we text a pancake? Text a pancake.
Do we have the... Pancake. I mean, I'll try. I will try.
Okay. Hello.
That was the lemon curd popping. There we go.
I'm
just loving all of these kitchen sound effects. That is actually coming from a real kitchen.
It's not a sound effect. It's all sound.
Well, it's a sound. Yeah. Yes. It's not an effect.
This is radio.
It's brilliant.
I'm not sure how much of this lemon curd to use. I'm just sort of...
Just spread like the same as the Nutella, I guess.
Swabbling it on.
Spread the lemon curd.
There we go.
Spread the love. Pancake Day is just a tradition that we've always celebrated in my family. I don't know if you'd always kept the tradition going, Chris.
Yeah, on its way.
Oh, absolutely. Pancake Day was the most important part of February.
It was the only food my dad could cook. Like my mum and me and my brother would do cooking a lot of the rest of the time, but my dad had only ever cooked pancakes. Oh, right. Okay, we've got another pancake delivered in front of us. This one, I believe, is lemon curd. Chris, would you like to do the honours of the first bit?
Oh, yeah. I'm going to put cheese in the batter.
Was that for the cheese and ham pancake? Who suggested cheese and ham? Because that was a weird combination for me.
I think I might have
whizzing back through Twitter and trying to find who's decided. Cheese and ham. That would have been Jake H.
Jake. So Jake, see, because that's savoury cheese and ham. I've never had a savoury pancake.
Which reminds me, I need to get the ham ready.
Now
that sounded like a fridge again. Opening.
Yeah.
I've just had a bite of this lemon curd pancake and. Oh wow!
Really? I'm not.
Like, I'm going to have to try. I've tried some of this stuff.
So I'm not.
After
I'm
the show, we're going to have to make more.
Yeah. We should do
with
that.
All the
suggestions
that we don't have time for on the show.
But I'm not a big fan of lemon. But the lemon curd was kind of okay. That wasn't too bad.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay, so obviously the next one's going to be a bit sort of on the meaty side.
Lucas says it's almost 10 p.m. here, and you're making me hungry. Lucas, 10 p.m. is a perfectly acceptable time to eat. Go.
10 p.m. is a perfectly acceptable time to make pancakes
as
well.
Yes, make pancakes, Lucas.
Yeah, I always make
pancakes
when I get in like a bit late in the evening and I don't really have time to or inclination to do anything.
I should just always keep pancake batter in the fridge. I think that'd be good.
That's a great idea.
Well, I expect you'll have some pancake batter in the, in the Geekly fridge.
No, I think actually we're probably just going to eat lots of pancakes after the show.
Yeah, probably.
Ooh, sizzly. Ooh,
I remember
have sprinkled cheese on the top of this one before I'm, you know, and then when I flip it
how
over.
Exciting.
Exciting. I've seen a suggestion online actually a few times that the ideal way to store, if you make a lot of pancake batter, one of the best ways to store it is in an old squeezy sauce bottle.
Well, that's clever.
So if you empty out like a ketchup bottle or something like that and fill that with pancake batter, you can make... Not only can you just splooge it into the pan whenever you fancy pancakes, but you can also make interesting shapes with them.
Well, wow. And I suppose you can shake it easily as well.
Yeah. It's a very practical pancake batter storage
did
solution.
Did you just toss the pancake and it's
I did, and the cheese
sizzling.
Went all sizzly.
Ooh.
Oh, actually, this might make my pan a bit cheesy, which might make the next one kind of tricky.
Might have to give it a bit of a rinse in between.
Yeah. Might have to rinse the pan. You might have to have a song ready to go while I'm washing up. Because I don't think that will make good radio. Woo!
Possibly not.
Oh,
although I am excited
like
by these sizzly cheese sounds.
Cheese. Oh, no, but I'm putting ham in it. So the vegetarian.
Oh, no.
I just have to make a cheese
ham in
pancake.
Half. Put ham in half.
Oh, I've already hammed it.
Okay. Just have to make another cheese one before the pan gets washed. There we go.
Oh, okay, that's a good solution.
Gotta cheese it up.
Pancake batter layers up in the fridge during the night. It's gross. I'd imagine if you shook it, though, it would be fine.
Yeah, if you had it in a squeezy bottle or something, then.
So yeah, I mean, normally I would make my pancake batter. This cheese and ham might have an ever so slightly lemony twinge because I'm using the knife I used to cut that.
That's okay.
It's all kinds of flavours happening.
All kinds of flavours.
Right, so I'm going to make another cheesy one.
That's
hopefully
fine.
That one won't be horrible. Oh, look at all that cheese on the fish life.
That's okay.
Wow.
Okay, well, we've got cheesy ham
has been delivered.
So you're going to have to describe my facial expressions as I try this.
Indeed, I am. The cheesy ham is on the table. Okay, it's going for a piece of cheesy ham.
Well, I don't even really need to oil the pan for this one because it's all full of cheese grease.
Smells cheesy.
Definitely does. Gone in for it.
That is good. That is so good.
Positive facial expression.
Is it sort of omelette-y?
A little bit, but not as... It's not as eggy as an omelette. It's quite...
Maybe a reason for that.
Oh, it's so good. This is amazing.
Yeah, because of all the milk and flour that's not usually in an omelette.
So good.
Okay, right.
Eggs make up a very small part of the pancake experience.
They do.
Wow, that's tasty.
Oh, right, okay.
And you don't get to, I get to eat two bits this one.
Well.
Right, well, I've used up my grated cheese allowance.
I'm going to eat two bits of the cheesy one, so there.
You can eat all of the cheesy one if you like.
Be unfair on the runners, surely.
That is so good. That is so cheese and ham on a pancake. Jake, that's the most amazing thing I've ever tasted.
Wow, that is an accolade.
In pancakes.
Ah.
I was going to say, I've had some great steaks and stuff. That's I can't say that a cheese and ham pancake is better than like a really nice steak or a you know
really nice curry.
Oh.
Mm.
But pancakes are good.
Sorry, I was on Hungry
Next
House.
Week.
But anyway, shall we? Let's have another song now. We'll have a request. We'll get a bit more pancaking in, and then we'll bring in our guest who may be pancake related.
Pancake. pancakes, pancakes. Call us crazy, but we're making live pancakes on air. Seriously. Ugh, they're live.
Oh, they are. They're live.
Yes.
Actual live pancakes.
As are we.
Catherine, are you still there?
I am. Hopefully you can hear me.
We can.
We can.
Yay.
So, you're still making pancakes for us.
I am. You're about to get another one.
Wow. Ooh, that's exciting.
Do you know what the topping is?
I don't.
No.
I think somebody might know.
A
friend of ours.
Yes, this is for any and all Adventure Time fans out there. You may well remember Jake's obsession with bacon pancakes. As he does indeed say, bacon pancakes, making bacon pancakes. Take some bacon and you put it in a pancake.
There is a reason we don't have the clip.
Yeah, but what's even more awesome is that someone has remixed that clip.
Bacon pancakes, making bacon pancakes. Take some bacon and I'll put it in a pancake. Bacon pancakes, that's what it's gonna make. Bacon pancakes. Bacon pancakes, making bacon pancakes. Take some bacon and I'll put it in a pancake. Bacon pancakes, that's what it's gonna make. Bacon pancakes.
So quite amazingly, Jake the dog and Alicia Keys singing about bacon pancakes. And I now have a bacon pancake in front of me. We crisped up some bacon earlier. We've got an actual bacon pancake here. Now, Chris, you can't try this.
That is very true. I don't eat meat.
You don't eat meat. But I'm going to give this a go here. So please,
describe my facial expressions.
I'm going to give it a sniff.
Because it's sniffing the pancake.
Smells like bacon.
Because it's eating the pancake. It's gone in.
There's also some syrup in there.
Oh.
Kez's facial expression can only be described as euphoric.
Goodness. Oh. Oh. Oh.
I've known you for a few years now, and I don't think I've ever seen you get happier about a foodstuff. I genuinely don't.
I'll have what they're having.
Oh, my goodness. This is amazing.
Okay, what? What?
Jake the dog. Jake the dog is a genius.
Okay, I mean, the next one is coming
not the
up.
First time
and this is another combination I hadn't heard of.
Is it also in collaboration with Alicia Keys?
Not that I know of. Although that's not to say that Alicia didn't invent this.
But what's this one?
This is butter.
I'm with you.
Which is currently, you know, melting away. On the pancake. And then some cinnamon sugar.
Cinnamon sugar. Who tweeted this at us?
This was recommended by Finn at Gallifrey on Twitter. Spelled not the Doctor Who way, GALLEFRAY. Finn says, butter, sugar, cinnamon. It's weird as hell, but it works.
Yeah, but they all sound like things that go together well.
That's very true. I mean, they don't sound like things I would necessarily put in a pancake, but
I love cinnamon, and butter is great, and sugar and cinnamon is great, and sugar and butter are great.
Yes. All very true.
We've got our proportions of sort of sugar and cinnamon right for this.
Yes, we didn't consult recipe.
I believe we've got a fan here, as Lucas
amazing.
In the chat room has just said, oh my God, cinnamon, sugar, dot, 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 dot. That's like all the ellipses there.
Yeah, because popcorn with cinnamon and sugar and salty things going on. Is
yeah,
amazing.
That does sound good.
So, this is probably going to be quite good too. Oh, look at this.
Describe it to us.
You say, oh, look at this, but we cannot look at that. We're not in the same room.
Well, you can look at it in a second.
Here it is.
Okay, it looks like a pancake.
It definitely does look like a pancake.
I'm just eating some of the leftover bacon.
Yeah, I shall retrieve. Oh, it's slightly gloopy because of all the butter going on. I'm gonna grab another plate just so that I've got.
Might be quite oozy.
It is a little.
This looks amazing. I'm giving it a go.
Lucas in the chat room says porridge with cinnamon sugar on top is
that's
quite
great.
Nice.
But this is a pancake. We're giving it a go here.
Here we go.
Wow. Oh, that's incredible. That's amazing.
Ooh.
Well, as you now see in the chat room, says, can we just take a moment to appreciate Food on Geekly not going very badly? That is true. I mean, we did the bake-off, and that was terrible. We did the sandwiches, and that was
semi-okay,
but mostly terrible. But these have all been amazing, and I think it's because we let Catherine do the pancakes.
That might be why.
We didn't attempt them. Mm. So I think definitely...
Yeah, I generally don't volunteer to cook things I can't cook.
No, whereas I'm like, oh, I'll give that a go. Yeah. Oh, it's terrible.
And I'm reasonably good at baking, but not very good at radio baking, as it turns out.
So it seems.
Yeah, and it always so confused me, because whenever anyone makes a pancake on TV, they always make the most incredible mess of it, don't they?
Yeah.
Even on things like MasterChef The Professionals, that was on a few, they had to make a crepe Suzette. And I just got so impatient watching it on the TV. I'm like, right, I'm just going to go out in the kitchen and prove that I can do better than that.
I've had a crepe Suzette at a restaurant before, and that was really interesting because they bring out like the trolley and cook it right there in front of you, and it's all very elaborate.
Yeah, there's flames and all sorts. Yeah.
Yes, I would like flames in my pancake, please.
Yeah, sorry, I'm not really prepared for flames.
I want flames!
Did we not bring the petrol and lighter fluid?
Yes, where's Cheezoid when you need him? I require both cheese and petrol in my pancake. Yes, that's a joke that if you don't watch Mitchell and Webb, you probably don't get. Mm. But pancakes. We've got a pancake-related guest coming up, as well as
we have
all the usual features on the show. So I'll tell you a bit about our guest while Chris attempts to dial them into the studio.
Ooh.
How exciting.
Yeah, I'm just going to do a little bit of clean up so I can leave the kitchen.
Okay,
then,
well, we'll turn your microphone
rejoin
off
you
for
in
now,
a second.
Catherine, because just hearing you clean up is going to be boring.
Yeah.
So we'll see you when you
mainly
get back to the studio.
Me up.
Yes, there we go. So bye-bye, Catherine, and thanks for all the pancakes. So we are about to have on a very, very special guest, a gentleman by the name of Nathan Shields. Now, Nathan, about 4 years ago,
something
popped
like
up
that.
On the internet as being a pancake artist.
Indeed.
A pancake artist. So someone who makes art with pancakes.
Yes.
And now, these things are absolutely incredible. We'll share the Instagram and the Tumblr and things with you later, because it's just an absolutely... it's a phenomenal thing to see, this person being able to actually make art with pancakes. It's just it boggles my mind how amazing
mine.
It is. But we have been fans since 4 years ago on Seeing the Pancake Art, and given it's our pancake special episode, we thought we would invite Nathan on to have a chat. So do we have Nathan on the line?
We should indeed have Nathan on the line. Hello, Nathan.
Hello, how's it going, Geekly guys?
Hey, we are doing well. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty well. You caught me just after I made a batch of pancakes.
Ah.
Now that is a good thing to hear. Pancakes are excellent. So what, I'm curious, what got you into pancake art?
Just my kids. I just started making them for my children's entertainment only, and posted pictures on Facebook and slowly grew an audience. It's fun to do, so I'm still doing it 4 years later.
So what was one of the, I mean, have you, I'm assuming your skills have kind of honed and evolved a little over that time. So what were the first sort of things that you did with the pancake art?
Let's see. The first thing was just a few cars and trucks using a spoon to drop batter on the pan. And, from there, I quickly figured out that some more control would be helpful, so I upgraded to a squeeze bottle, and that's something that anyone can do. It makes it a lot easier. You can have fun with your kids making hearts or stars. They don't have to be complex shapes.
We were saying earlier that a squeeze bottle is a good way to make pancakes because of the control you have.
Yeah, that's the secret ingredient.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm terrible at art. So me with a squeeze bottle, pancakes are still going to come out just looking like weird shapes, like geometric pancake shapes. I mean, were you always into drawing? Were you kind of artistic before you did this? Or did you really discover that your canvas was the pan?
Oh, I'd like to say that the pancakes turned me into an artist, but I've always been interested. And But that's not to say that geometric shapes wouldn't be interesting pancakes, other than a circle, of course. But it's not too hard to try out, and they don't have to be something with a bunch of shading and small details in them. You don't have to go for a portrait right off the bat.
So that's something that's always interested me about these artistic pancakes, is the fact that you're able to create kind of shading and such depth in the pictures you make out of pancake batter. And I mean, I figure that's just like frying it at different speeds, but how hard is it to get that right, fry it for the right amount of time?
Well, if you're going for something pretty dark, you want some dark shadows in there, then you let it go too long and you get a burnt taste when you're eating your pancakes. So I have resorted to using a little cocoa powder to help the darkening of the first layers. But then you're right, the amount of time that you let it cook on the pan shades at a certain level of brown. So that the part you end up putting down last is going to be the whitest. So that usually ends up being people's teeth or the whites of their eyes.
Yeah, I saw that you did a great portrait, a slightly harrowing portrait of President Snow just recently.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
It looked great. I mean, it looks like it was probably quite prickly to eat.
Oh, yeah. Well, the good thing is that it doesn't matter what they look like, they still are pretty good to eat.
And Justin Bieber, I saw that you did a Justin Bieber one a little while ago with... you know, almost everybody wants to cover Justin Bieber in syrup or cut him into pieces.
Or cut him up, yeah. So I got to do both.
That's, yeah, well, that's probably most people's dream is to do either one of those two things or indeed most serial killers. So we'll leave that one out there for any Justin Bieber fans or any particular obsessives. Get a bottle of syrup, go find his hotel. We'll just be here eating pancakes. Have you inspired any kind of copycats? Are there people that are sent? Do people send you in pictures of pancakes they've made? Do people you know start trying it as well?
Every now and then I get some fan art, I guess, and I'm happy to have inspired parents to have fun with their kids. There are a lot of other dads and moms who have independently invented pancake art on their own, though, so I can't take all the credit.
One day, but I think it's brilliant that it started out as just a thing that you were trying out with your kids. I think that, you know, one of the articles I read was like, you know, super dad does this pancake art. I was wondering, can you actually fly as well?
Yeah, the bar for becoming a super dad, I guess, is pretty low. Just have to get out a frying pan. But the kids are still into it, and they didn't have school today, and so it was an early weekend, and they got to do their own pancakes, which we limit to once a week. So I understand there are a lot of sugar and carbs in there. I don't need a lot of emails to that extent.
Yeah, well, it's we just have one day a year that we eat pancakes on. I mean, I know there are some people that eat pancakes other times. Catherine's over here like, oh, please, it's like once a minute for me. But I tend to eat pancakes once a year on Pancake Day. So I don't get too much sugar and carbs the rest of the year, but I do binge on Pancake Day.
Yeah.
So
my
40 or 50 pancakes that day are quite good. But I mean, I love putting all kinds of different toppings on the pancakes. I know that, you know, traditionally, especially in other parts of the world, you know, just a bit of syrup or butter is traditional. But I a bit of everything. We just tried a cheese and ham pancake. That was quite quite interesting. But what's your favorite thing to put on top of a pancake?
I'm a syrup purist, but my daughter always opts for Nutella, and I think sometimes we've used honey or haven't gotten too crazy with the toppings because it obscures the artwork.
Yeah, and that's a good point. When a pancake is as good looking as the ones you're making, you know, you don't want to kind of put too much on there. And we just had a Nutella and banana pancake that was very nice, but that was flying saucer shaped pancake, so it was just fairly standard, and we could cover that up. But of all of the of all of the pancakes that you've made, what are your kind of personal favorites? Are the ones that you're kind of most proud of?
Well, you mentioned that President's Snow. That's my latest favorite one, but maybe that's just because I can't remember the rest.
It's you've got pancake fever.
Yeah, one time we made a spirograph type of tool to use on a pancake pan.
Oh wow!
And so had some fun with that. It still needs a few improvements made, and so that's on schedule for sometime this year.
Have you ever made a pancake that was bigger than the standard kind of size pan? Have you ever done? I mean, you think that a lot of artists, they'll do something on canvas and on paper, and then every now and then they'll go to a beach and do a giant thing in the sand. Have you ever made a giant pancake?
Right. Well, it's crossed my mind, and it's been proposed by a couple people. One guy from Singapore emailed me to see if I could come do a huge pancake on a field, but the logistics and just the statement of wasting so much food didn't really appeal to me.
Well, and that's the thing as well, isn't it? It's we're trying pancakes here this evening, but we're eating them, and pancakes, and certainly Pancake Day in the UK, the kind of place it falls and its religious significance and stuff was that it was the way of using up the food that you had before you were fasting for Lent and things like that. So it's you know, it's always tied in with being frugal and making sure you don't overeat. And there's so much hunger out there in the world. Then, yeah, absolutely. Works of art are works of art. But making sure that you're not going crazy with those pancakes is good and very noble. So as much as I would like to see a field-sized pancake, as much as I would like to eat a field-sized pancake, that was probably a good call, although a shame that the all-expenses-paid pancake-related trip that would have been very interesting to put on your tax return didn't actually happen.
Yeah.
So what advice would you have for any budding pancake artists out there? I'm kind of bigging myself up here. I really want to go out there and start making some pancake artwork, but I'm terrible at art. So what advice would you give me to try and get started?
To act like a kid, which is to say that they don't put a lot of standards on themselves. That's what grown-ups do and older people.
I know that's handy because I have no standards whatsoever.
Good. Yeah, just get a squeeze bottle and go for it. One thing I've found is, for me at least, I like to have a non-stick surface that works pretty well so that you don't have to use a lot of butter on there because it bubbles up and obscures your artwork.
And the way that you do it is that you kind of draw as if, so the bit that is on the underside is the bit that eventually gets seen, right? So you kind of flip it and then that's it. That's the artwork bit. So you're kind of working almost as if you're drawing on glass. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So as you're going along, it's not going to look so good. And it's always a surprise when you flip it over and see what you've made.
Hmm. I might have to give that a go then. And I'm thinking about things that we could make. I mean, I'm starting out with geometric shapes. Obviously, you've got a lot of skill and experience with that. Do you think you'd be able to make a pancake with the Geekly logo on it?
Oh, I'm up for the challenge.
Fantastic.
Awesome. Well, if you manage that, please do tweet it at us. We'd love to see a Geekly pancake. That would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, pancakes are just one of those really great things in life. I find they're things you can eat in the evening, the things you can eat in the morning. But what do you have any kind of particular memory associated with those pancakes? I mean, you started making them with your kids. Was it always a tradition for you when you were younger as well? Or, I mean, for me, I started out liking pancakes because it was the only thing my dad could cook. And so whenever it was dad's turn to cook, which was very, very rare, like my mum was away for work or something, it was exciting because we'd get to eat pancakes. And for me, pancakes are always that kind of, you know, cheeky meal that you have when you don't have to eat properly.
Yeah, I have my own fond memories of eating pancakes as a child. And my mom did some experiments herself trying to make them into shapes or faces. I was into monsters at the time, and so horns and teeth featured prevalently.
That's awesome, and what I imagine bands like Iron Maiden eat for breakfast. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show and joining us on our pancake special tonight. I look forward to potentially seeing a Geekly Chronicles pancake at some point. But thank you for coming on and calling in all the way from foreign lands. And thank you. Thanks for being on the show.
For having me, and have a tasty pancake day.
Thank you very much. Thank you, and you.
Sure, try to. And if you want to... If you want to see Nathan's pancake creations, the website is SciPancakes, SciPancakes.com. And you can also follow him on Instagram. Links are on Twitter and in the chat room.
Yes. Well, now I'm in the mood for more pancakes.
I am also in the mood for more pancakes.
But let's have a song. We've got so much coming up still on the show. We've got more information about the prize draw. We've got our forecast. We've got Game of Geeks. We've got more pancakes. It's all go this evening.
It is.
Here on the show. So thank you very much, Nathan, for coming on the show, being a part of the Geekly Chronicles and our pancake special. Now here's a request for Lucas.
And now the skimping forecast issued by the Geekly Chronicles on behalf of EasyJet at 1900. The general synopsis this evening. Vouchers, 4. Snipping them out of the newspaper, 8. Loyalty cards, 3. A whole wallet full, 7. Buy one, get one free deals, 4 or 5. Browsing the gondola ends, 6. Buying own brand, 3. Tesco value range, 8. Quidco cashback, 7 or 8. Piggy banks, 3. Vintage NatWest pigs, 8. Money supermarket, 5. Money saving expert, 7. Bulk buying, 3. 6 at Costco. Reusing tea bags, 8. Hanging them out on the line, 10. Disappointing cups of tea, likely. Comparing markets, 1. Comparing meerkats, simples. And that ends the skimping forecast.
Ooh.
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 It's Game of Geeks time.
Ooh.
And I'm feeling like I need to win.
Uh-huh. Are you?
I am. I mean, you won last week, but yes. I was in a different country.
That's very true. Yep. It did put me at a slight advantage.
Yes. Yes, indeed it did. So thank you, Chris, for that brilliant forecast just before. But Catherine, Game of Geeks.
Game of Geeks. Okay, we are currently 4-2 in Kez's favour.
We are.
And...
Ha! Ha!
The usual rules apply. I've got 3 clues for each film.
We've got our buzzers in front of us, our big green buttons.
Indeed you have.
Yep.
So if Kez were to guess by pressing their buzzer...
Oh, do you want me to actually press it?
Go for it.
Yeah.
Okay, but yeah, okay, fine. Didn't do anything.
Yeah.
There we go.
Kind of need to...
Yeah, I had to pull that fader up, didn't
yes,
I?
Yes, you did. Okay, so, okay. Kez goes... Just in case you weren't clear there, it is...
Pancake Day.
I mean, it's not, but
that's from a kids TV show that I remember called Maid Marian and Her Merry Men. It was a Robin Hood spin-off.
Gosh.
Very good.
Very excellent.
And
your buzzer.
My buzzer goes...
Would you like a schmuck and a pancake?
A what?
A schmuck and a pancake. You know, flapjack and a cigarette? All right. Sugar and a waffle? No. Pipe and a crepe? No. Bong and a blintz?
No.
Oh, well, then there is no pleasing you.
From, of course, Austin Powers.
Indeed.
You looked a little confused there.
Yeah. We have shortened the buzzers for use in the actual quiz.
We have, yes.
Luckily.
Yes.
Otherwise, we'd be here all night.
Yes.
Yes, we would. So. Right.
So, yes, three clues to each film. If you guess on the first clue, 3 points. Second clue, 2 points. If you need three clues, then that's just 1 point. Okay. So if you're ready to start with the first film,
let's do it.
Hands on buzzers.
And he's on my buzzer.
And we're ready to go.
Yep.
Okay, clue number one for film number one. This 2001 film was the last Disney Pixar movie to feature bloopers at the end credits.
Pancake Day.
Kez.
Was it The Incredibles?
No, it wasn't.
Ooh.
Good guess, though. Okay. Clue number two. One of the two main characters is named after Lawrence Sullivan Ross, a former Texas...
Monsters, Inc.?
Yes.
Yes!
Okay.
Sullivan, Sully, that's Sully. What they
were doing. Yep. I was trying to kind of pause on the two main characters. Sullivan.
Not that you're trying to make it easy for us or anything.
Yeah.
Anyway, so if you're ready for clue number one for film number two.
We are.
Okay. This was the first film that Frank Miller directed based on one of his graphic novels.
Pancake Day.
Guess.
Sin City?
Yes.
Oh, yes. It's not whitewash, it's brainwash.
Nice. Okay, so we're on to film number three already.
We are.
And this is clue number one. This was the first Tarantino film to contain less than 100 uses of the F word.
That's
difficult. I thought they all contained more than 100 uses of the F word.
Tarantino...
As in Quentin Tarantino.
Yes, I know who Tarantino is.
Yes.
Everyone swears. Everyone dies.
Everyone swears.
Basically.
Yeah.
No guesses?
No.
No, I'm lost on that
okay.
one.
Okay. Clue number two. Uma Thurman was offered the script and her role in this film as a 30th birthday present from Tarantino.
Ooh. People in the chat room are trying to help. This is... Wow. I'm not looking.
Yeah. I mean, that could be any Tarantino film, basically. So,
okay, clue number three.
Wait, who for their 30th birthday?
Uma Thurman.
She's older than 30 now, though, right?
Well, that is how time works.
She's not 30, just been in a...
You ready for clue number three?
As ready as we'll ever be.
For 1 point. Right, the real name of Uma Thurman's character, the Bride, is never spoken in the film.
Oh God!
I don't think Cog can help.
No.
Okay. Well, I'm surprised actually, because what with a recent meme, it was Kill Bill.
Okay.
Kill Bill Volume 1.
Yeah, never seen it.
So that means Uma Thurman was 30 around the time of 2003.
Wow.
Well,
okay. There we go. So she's in her 40s now.
So, right. So, Kez is still steaming ahead. So, fingers on buzzers for film number four. Worth 3 points. This film's protagonists attempt to storm a castle using a giant wooden rabbit.
Using a giant wooden rabbit?
Yep.
So it's not like a factual documentary about what happened in Troy.
I'm not imagining so now.
It could be a factual documentary about another castle storming incident.
Pancake Day.
Guess.
Monty Python and the... Is it The Meaning of Life?
No.
Oh.
Okay. Clue number two. This film grossed the most of any British film exhibited in the US in 1975.
Pancake Day.
Is it Monty Python and the Holy Grail?
Yeah.
Ah!
So that's another 2 points for Kez.
Wow. I couldn't remember which. It's been a long time since I watched the Python films.
Next one. Clue number one. The famous motorcycle scenes in this film were not based on the real life story, but were added on the lead actor's suggestion.
Motorcycle scenes.
What films have
real life story?
Real life story with motorcycles.
Pancake Day.
West Side Story.
No. Right, so clue number two.
Pancake Day.
East Side Story.
ready for clue number two?
Yes, please.
Okay, in this film, Tom, Dick, and Harry are hidden under stoves and in washrooms.
Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
No.
That is a reasonable guess.
Okay, so clue number three. The films Chicken Run, Reservoir Dogs, and the 1998 remake of The Parent Trap, Charlie's Angels, and Naked Gun 33 and a Third, The Final Insult, all contain references and homages to this film.
Oh, what film is it?
Right, yeah, I'm not getting it.
There's motorbikes, no. Tom, Dick, and Harry.
No.
Chicken Run.
No.
No, you've confused me with Chicken Run. I don't know.
It's a long time since I saw Chicken Run.
Yeah, but I'm pretty sure it doesn't have motorbikes in it.
It does have a tricycle
it
in
it. It has a tricycle, yes.
Right.
It's rather important.
It's The Great Escape.
Is it The Great Escape?
Yes, for 0 points. Okay, so that's
there.
So,
trying to change how the game works.
So that means...
It's a hip-hop world, son. You've got to keep up or get left behind.
Uh-huh.
So what does that mean?
Was that it? Was that the last
that
one?
That was it, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So that means, if I do say so myself...
You don't say it.
This week's winner is... Kez.
My victory was short-lived.
Your victory was as a result of me being thousands of miles away.
Yeah.
But maybe you'll get it next week.
Yes, because we have a plan to ship you out to another country. So
that's really kind. Thank you.
I'll just sit you really, really far away from the bus.
Ah, yes. Well,
yes, you're going to sit in a different room, in a different building, in Canada. So that's probably going to help.
But Canada's fine. I'd like the food in Canada, I think. I mean, I've only seen pictures of it. But I think it'll be nice. Anyway, here's
lots
a request. Thank you, Catherine, for another great game of Geeks that I won. Thank you. Commiserations, Chris. You played a good game. Here, let's shake hands. That's not a handshake. That's a rude gesture, Christopher. Now here's a request for Prosec.
Debating the important things in life, like whether or not a super fast blue hedgehog is better than an overweight plumber with a moustache.
There's really no need to debate. It is. Oh, God, it's been a pancakey show.
It has been a very pancakey show.
But what else do we have? I mean, again, commiserations on losing. I
that was a very confusing sentence.
I apologise for getting those two things mixed up.
That is kind of important to the... If you forget the way round that works, then this sort of... of the game...
I'm so uncompetitive a person that I forget the difference between winning and losing sometimes.
Uncompetitive. Anyway. Yes, other things...
We have this drawer.
We do have this drawer that is currently somewhere below the desk, but it is a prize drawer.
It's a drawer full of prizes.
That we will draw.
And include a drawing of draw.
Yes.
In draw.
For the drawer.
For the drawer.
Now, if that's not confused you
draw
enough.
Draw a few more times.
Draw, 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 draw.
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 Draw. The
draw.
Musical.
Draw.
I've got a draw.
Okay.
It's got prizes and it's a draw for the draw. There's a drawing of the draw.
Are you done?
Draw the musical.
Yep.
Okay, so this draw, we are drawing.
Draw.
We are having a prize draw.
Draw.
For a draw full of prizes. It's
draw.
Very confusing. But in the prize draw.
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 So we've been adding stuff to this.
We've been
all
adding
series.
Yeah,
series,
so we've been adding things into the draw the whole series, and we'll continue to do so.
Yes.
And it'll be given away at our special television final, which we will talk about shortly. Yes. But
so far in the prize draw.
Oh, what have we got?
We have the Geekly Jingle script signed by Hattie Herridge, a signed copy of About the Walls by Irene and the Disappointments, guest from episode 1, a portable USB charger, a tile so you never lose your keys again, donated by Jess, one of our guests, an original Game Boy, plus some games including Tetris and Pokemon Yellow, a Rising Games wristband, a McDonald's cheeseburger and fries purchased on the 4th of December 2015.
It's really manky already.
It's... yeah, don't. We are. We've sealed it. We've sealed it in the Tupperware, and we don't expect you to take it away with you. A Taylor Swift 2016 calendar, a set of manly mustaches, it says on the packet, a Pokemon annual, a WaterAid t-shirt, a large bar of Cadbury's Dairy Milk, winner of Richard Osman's World Cup of Chocolate, the drawing of us drawing the name for the prize draw, the drawer that it all goes in, and the IKEA manual for the drawer that has been signed and annotated by we three presenters.
Yes, it is an exciting drawer full of stuff that will that you cannot get elsewhere.
Indeed it is. And we have an addition to make to the prize draw.
So something
or
new's
rather,
going in today,
we
is
will
it?
Have an addition.
Yes.
We're making an addition. Now,
indeed
this is
we
a,
are.
In the spirit of making things, what have you two concocted? Because this well, is not something that I'm a part of. This is a
both,
Chris and Catherine creation here.
Yeah, this kind of plays into both our hobbies and interests, doesn't it?
So we discovered this creation and we decided to craft it for the prize draw. The item in question, or items in question, that we are adding to the draw are a pair of Netflix socks.
Okay, well, what is a Netflix sock?
A Netflix sock, it's a sock made of wool.
Wait, made of Netflix?
No.
Yeah, no.
Is it is it a special sock that you use whilst chilling? Is it sock in air quotes?
No, but
It might.
But it is a special
Netflix and sock.
It's a special sock used while Netflixing. Whether or not it's involved in the chilling is entirely down to the user's preference. But the special feature of the Netflix sock, aside from being a snazzy sock with like Netflix on it and our little geekly microphone-y guy,
we've had to adapt the sock pattern to make it a mashup of Netflixy branding and geekly branding.
All good.
But the magic of this sock is that if you're watching Netflix and wearing the sock, and I mean, we've all been there, haven't we? You put something on Netflix and you begin binging. Netflix says, hey, watch the next one. And then watch the next one. And then before you know it, you are 20 episodes into something. You have lost
it's
all sense of what time is.
Game of Thrones.
That's basically how I watch everything on Netflix. But yes, absolutely how you watch Game of Thrones. But there reaches a point in your Netflix experience where you get a bit tired. You start to get, I don't think I can get up for the sofa. You start to drift
off
to sleep.
You maybe lie down a little bit.
Yeah. Flop over on your sofa.
Yeah.
We've all
you're
been there.
Netflixing in bed, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It could have been that.
Could be that sort of day.
Yes. Now, the risk, of course, of doing that is once you've fallen asleep, Netflix carries on dutifully in the background.
And you
keeps
have no
playing.
Idea.
You have no idea where you get to.
Yeah.
Because it just keeps on
you've lost
playing.
Your place.
It loses your
Netflix
place.
Netflix thinks you've watched three more episodes than you really have.
Yes. So, the magic.
This is such a first world problem. There are children starving in the Sudan, but I've missed an episode of a show.
But,
sorry.
Here's a first world solution.
Ooh, exciting.
The magic of the Netflix sock is it will. Once you're wearing the Netflix socks, it will sense when you are asleep. And if you do drift off and into dreamland, it will pause your Netflix for you.
How does this sorcery work?
So the science behind it...
Magic.
...is magic. it uses... A sleep monitoring technique called actigraphy, which is basically sums up to if you're making no movement at all, you're probably asleep or have been knocked out. So
either way, you're missing your favorite show.
Yeah, you'll want to pause your Netflix thing because even when you're awake and sitting completely still, you still make kind of tiny movements every now and again. But when the sock figures out that you're not moving at all, it says, you must be asleep, and it, much like a remote control, it sends a signal to your TV or whatever you're watching Netflix on to say,
pause,
stop doing that. They're asleep.
That's an amazing idea.
Oh, yeah.
So Chris is handling the magic,
yes.
the electronics, I'm handling the sock making, which is knitted.
Chris is handling the magic and you are handling the sock.
Yes.
In one of the
something,
most bizarre double entendres we've ever had on the show.
Something sounds very, very filthy about that sentence.
But I'm having to learn all sorts of new knitting techniques for this. I've had to buy double pointed needles in order to knit in the round.
How exciting.
I know, right?
Wow.
I've just had to glue some stuff together. So,
well, so what kit's this based on? What technology?
So this is all based on an Arduino compatible controller, because we do love an Arduino here at the Geekly Chronicles.
We do. Most of the studio is powered by them.
Yes, that is very true. We have gone with Netflix's recommendation, because this is an actual Netflix thing on their website.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Find out how to do. But we have gone with Netflix's recommendation of using the Adafruit Pro Trinket, an accelerometer. There's an infrared thing to send the message to your TV.
There's an infrared thing.
Yes, that's the technical term. And various other bits and bobs. There's a blinky light that sits on the outside of the sock, just so it lets you know when it's about to tell your TV you're asleep, just in case you're not, and it thinks you are.
That's pretty amazing.
It's a pretty special set of socks.
And so we've got Netflix socks in the prize draw.
We do.
Amazing. Well, they're in the process of being made, so we will tweet our progress.
We currently have about a quarter of a sock knitted.
Indeed.
Yes, but I mean, that's really fast work, though, because when you arrived at the studio earlier on...
I started them last night.
Yeah, and when you arrived at the studio earlier on, they were not...
I haven't got to the complicated bit yet, though.
Ah, fair enough. Mm.
But I haven't knitted socks before, so I don't really know how to do the heel.
But I'm assuming you just kind of knit around it and then do the heel afterwards?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of how
it happens. I'm not a knit spurt.
No, but there's like little tutorials and stuff on the Netflix thingy, so
yes,
it'll all be good.
Cool.
So we are popping a set of Netflix socks in the prize draw. They are truly special. We will try them out and check that they work, and then thoroughly launder them, and then
put the electronics in
again. You do have to take the electronics out if you want to wash the socks.
We could always pop the electronics in a pair of our own socks to test it. And then put them in the Geekly socks.
Then put them in the magic
socks.
Of course. So we shall do that, and we will pop them in the prize draw.
That's epic. That's absolutely amazing. And of course, we'll be giving the prize draw away in the last episode of the series, which is just two episodes away now.
It is.
There's one episode and then that. And we will give you all of the details of that. But let's get another request in first. So this is a request. Another one for Lucas. Lucas, who says that Netflix is now finally available worldwide, which means that they'll be able to watch it in Lithuania. In Lithuania, Netflix and chill will soon become a real thing. But I imagine that's just because the temperatures there are quite cold. But this is a song that I love, actually.
It's the Geekly Chronicles. It's like Game of Thrones, but without the nudity, mostly.
Depends what kind of day we're having, really.
Well, yes, indeed. I mean, there's a lot. Yeah, I'm still thinking about pancakes.
Fair enough.
Pancakes. Pancakes. I just want pancakes.
And speaking of pancakes,
I want pancakes.
Speaking of pancakes, we asked you, the listeners, at the start of the show, would you rather find a hair in your pancake or go out with a pancake in your hair?
And overwhelmingly.
Yes, overwhelmingly. I have to say the opinions have very much been to conform with your new aesthetic, Kez.
Oh, yes.
Of a pancake in your hair.
Definitely. Pancake in the hair.
# pancake hats.
Oh, pancake hats.
Pancake hats. All right.
I think we need to take on Nathan's advice and try and make a pancake hat. That'd be amazing.
Mm.
Well, okay, so the last pancake tonight after the show, when we obviously go and eat more pancakes.
That is what we're doing. Try and make a hat.
I'll make it super crispy.
And then I can wear
so
it.
So that we can
wear it.
Pin it to your head.
Awesome.
Fantastic.
Now, that's awesome. Thank you very much, everyone, for taking part in Would You Rather this week. We'll be back next week with another Would You Rather. But
we will.
What is happening the week after? Well, the show after next, show 10.
Exciting thing.
The last show of the series.
So,
Geekly Live!
Indeed.
Bum, bum, bum.
We have made a change to the Geekly Live plan.
Because originally we were thinking about doing it in a theatre, right?
Yes, we were.
At this theatre space booked out. And
yeah.
The feedback that we got from people is that they're not all based in London.
Yes, or even the UK.
Quite a lot of our listeners are from further afield.
And the problem with a theatre is it's in London.
Yeah, and like we can
that
do
one,
it.
Anyway.
We could broadcast it over the radio like we were planning on usually doing. But, you know,
but it's
a lot
not
of
really
the visual
special.
Stuff
yeah.
wouldn't work. You know, we were planning on doing some cool things and you just wouldn't be able to see it. And as much as the pancakes were kind of okay, 2 hours of sitting there with some real visual things going on would have been a bit pants, really.
Yes.
So what are we doing instead?
To unpants the experience for our non-UK based listeners.
We're going to be on screen.
Ah!
We are.
Ah! 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 I've got a face for radio. What are we doing?
You know,
we're putting it on screen.
We did tell you about this, didn't we?
I know.
Did
this
we?
This is exciting.
I'm just worried. Did we tell Kez? Did we forget?
Well, Kez told me
about
it.
Yeah, so Geekly's on TV. Woo!
It is indeed.
We've got episode 9 to go in 2 weeks, and then 2 weeks after that, so 4 weeks today, the 26th of February,
ooh,
you will be able to tune into us live broadcast on YouTube.
Yep.
We will be in an actual television studio. This is not just going to be a camera pointing at us in our normal studio. We're actually going to be at a TV studio doing TV stuff.
Yes.
It's going to be a really special show. We'll have special guests on there. We're going to have some great kind of extra challenges. There'll be a special game of Geeks. So please join us on the 26th of February live on YouTube. But if you
are around,
we still have tickets.
Indeed we do. Anyone that had previously bought a ticket has now been invited to
be in the studio audience.
The studio audience, because we have one of those with us.
We do, So please, how can
please
people
come along?
Register?
You can get tickets for the same prices as before. A pound for a P, that's a person. Or £15 for a VIP.
And you get some special stuff, including, as you've seen me tweet today, our fantastic
snazzy new
Geekly
mugs. Yes.
So we've been using those throughout the show. You can check our tweets and see those. But you get one of those amongst other things if you're a P.
Yes, among various.
A VIP, rather.
Various others. You can get tickets at gkly.co/tickets. And that has all the details of where and when you need to turn up as well.
So say it one more time. We're going to be what?
We're going to be live on screen on February
26th.
Ah! I know.
It's amazing.
It is. Only a little bit terrifying.
Absolutely.
We are truly going to test the face for radio theory.
We are. So this has been episode 8 of the Geekly Chronicles. Thank you much for listening. We've had a really great show. Thank you very much to Nathan Shields for coming on and talking to us about pancake art. Thank you, Catherine, for making so many pancakes tonight. Thank you, Chris, for being a loser.
You're welcome.
Yay.
It's a service I provide.
Absolutely. And so we will be back in 2 weeks' time on a date that has entirely escaped my head.
The next Geekly.
Yes. We'll be back for the next show.
Well, something like that.
Something like that.
I have completely... We've all lost the plot. But,
a little bit, yeah. But we'll be back in 2 weeks' time for the next episode of the Geekly.
It is the 12th.
On the 12th of February. Please don't forget, 26th of February, 2 episodes' time, will be live on your screens. You can come and be in the studio audience if you want to. gkly.co/tickets. And tweet at us if you want any more details. But from me, Kez.
From me, Chris.
And from me, Catherine.
Have a fantastic week, and we are now going to go and eat a lot more pancakes.
Indeed.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You've been listening to the Geekly Chronicles. Content was researched and vaguely fudged together by Chris, Catherine and Kez, who are also your hosts for this evening's show. The Geekly Chronicles is an independent production. Any reference to any persons or things, living or dead, was probably an error. What is reality anyway? Don't take the blue pill. Live long and prosper. Wear sunscreen.
Ew, there's a hair in this pancake.